this is where Paul carries on with this subject of dealing with this problem of this person who ended up coercing his father's wife to enter into an affair. And this becomes a very, very serious problem. Now, how was Paul going to deal with it? Well, the first part of it was to deal with the man. And this man, it's important. The man has to be put out of the church. Right? Now, this was something that came with apostolic authority, with understanding that he could use the Lord's name in this way to judge. And he did. Now, that's not the only thing that needs to be dealt with. We still need to deal with the continuing problem. The continuing problem is that of the church. And we are going to see how related they really are. And so Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5, and he said, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Now, that is an important problem that we need to deal with. So there is the larger, obvious problem that was there, and that was the man who came with an affair with his father's wife. Now, that's a very distasteful thing, and Paul wants to put it out completely, and let's move from here. But where do we move to? Now, we cannot just simply set aside the person now, and then we think that it's over. It's not. So what is the next thing that must be done? Well, Paul had to address that problem of how the people did not mourn, but they were actually celebrating. They were just thinking, congratulating themselves on how modern they are, how liberal they are, how liberated they feel, and so on and so forth. And basically, they were glorying. And Paul noted that, and he says it directly, "Your glorying is not good." Now, this is something that this is absolutely important. How do we understand this? Right? What is this glorying in the first place? The word glorying literally means that they were rejoicing. Rejoicing in what? Basically, in that which is evil and that which is sinful. Worse than the word rejoicing is the word boasting. They were actually boasting about things like that. And it's a very unfortunate reality. So instead of mourning, instead of sorrowing for this sinful thing that has happened in the church, they were actually glorying and boasting that these things was in the church, and church was very modernized, church was not old-fashioned, and it was just doing that which is, you know, sort of very new, very different. Other people are not doing it, and they were able to accept it. This was their state of mind. Well, this is something that Paul went on to reject, and he had to deal with this further. What is this thing that we look at? First and foremost, he's going to remind them, this is actually an uncommon problem, right? That people have affairs here and there, it's almost all over the world. But having an affair with one's father's wife, that is such an uncommon that it is something that not even the Gentiles who are non-believers practice, and yet they were there, right? So if they were taking pride in being worldly wise, if they were looking at things and they were thinking that they were good and proper, well, they had another thing coming, because that's not true, right? So now, how did Paul address this problem? I think this is something we need to look at very carefully. Right. He addressed this problem by referring to the idea of a Passover meal. Now, this is a very challenging way of dealing with the problem. But it's very unique, very classic, and we need to look at this very carefully. right? So this idea of purging out the old leaven is actually a practice among Jews in the past and also in the present. So before the celebration of the Passover can be done, now this is before, they make it a ritual that everybody in the family will have to get rid of any leaven, any yeast inside the family. Now, sometimes we often think that yeast only exists in its raw form. And it's basically something that's very small. You let it ferment and you get it sealed up. You can put it in the refrigerator. When it comes to cleansing, you just take that away and it's over. Actually, that's not true. Because leaven is used in a lot of things. It is found in biscuits. It's found in bread. It's found in just about a lot of things make use of yeast. So when a family, a Jewish family, wishes to take away the yeast that is there, they literally search the whole house and all the uneaten biscuits and bread and all the other things that contain even the little bit of yeast, they will have to be given up. They have to be set aside. They have to be purged before they can even partake of the Passover. Now, this is what Paul is trying to say is that this is important for us. We need to practice this purging. The idea of purging is the idea of cleansing. Right? Now, this is important. All you need is to have a little leaven and put it together with the yeast. Put the yeast put together with the flour. And you mix it and you knead it. And you know what? You won't find the yeast anymore. It's all now in the whole lump. So it literally permeates throughout the entire lump of dough that you have. And what comes out as bread that looks very nice on the outside, actually it contains yeast. In normal circumstances, that's fine if you're looking at bread. But when you are going to keep the Passover, that cannot be partaken of. That has to be set aside. Yeast cannot be found there. It is meant to be pure. That is the whole idea. So unleavened bread is literally bread without yeast. And this is what it means for us to understand. So the danger is that when evil is not dealt with, it spreads. It makes people glory in the wrong things. It changes people's mindset. It makes people feel differently. The idea is now to tolerate sin. It's the idea to tolerate evil. And the things which are wrong are now tolerated. And after a while, it will become accepted as if it is normal. No, it's not normal. That's something that we need to bear in mind. So therefore, the call and the challenge is to purge out the old lump. Now, this is important, to take out the old leaven. So sometimes when we want to examine, we take a look, we need to look into all the things which are wrong, right? So one, the man who was there taken out, this is purging of the old lump. Purging the yeast is gone. But remember, sometimes there are other parts which are affected. Sometimes the whole lump is affected badly. It has to go completely. And the challenge is to be a new lump. In other words, you start all over again. All right, now this is very important. How do you make unleavened bread? If you are not going to start with a new lump of dough, you actually can't. You cannot mix the old lump and the old leaven, whatever the form may be, and then put it into the new lump, because the new lump will have yeast inside. The idea is that of purity. And purity is such, a fly in the ointment, the whole ointment, no matter how long, how well made it is, it's now destroyed, it's gone, it's affected. Right? This is what it's all about. This sanitization, it has to be done. You cannot have only 50% clean. It's not clean. It has to be either, this is absolutely as clean as you possibly can make it. This is absolutely important for us to understand. All right? And so Paul tells them, You may be a new lump. You truly are unleavened. Meaning to say that when the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us, we are made clean. That's why the Lord Jesus himself said to the people, you are not all clean, referring to Judas. Right? So the whole lot of them, they were cleansed by the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord cleansed their lives, and they were now pure in the sight of God. And that is absolutely important for us to understand. So we are a church and we are a new lump. We are an unleavened lump. And so we become the unleavened bread. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. Right? So you cannot keep the Passover without doing all the things which are required. Now, this is very important. Without the lamb, there is no Passover. Without the lamb sacrificing his life, there is no Passover. But if we were to just simply look at the lamb without the bread, it's an incomplete concept. So we need to have the thing together. It must be there again. It's very important to bear this in mind. The Passover feast becomes the example for us to ponder over. So if we want to keep the feast, and we do, right? So let us think in terms of the Holy Communion. We're going to keep this. But when we keep communion, how do we keep communion to a person who is evil, to a person who is practicing evil, and people who are glorying in that which is evil? How do you do that? And Paul says, you can't. If we want to keep the feast of the Passover, if we want to celebrate communion, we must do it correctly, not with the old leaven. Right? Now, there are some people who do things out of malice. There are some people who do things out of wickedness. Now, this becomes that gives us a little bit of a further clue as to what it could be. Now, why was the man being blamed the way he was? Now, we don't have the whole story. But could it be that this man has a very big issue with his father? And out of malice against his father, out of wickedness against his father, actually went on to have an affair with his father's wife. Is that possible? Answer, yes. And it could be that this father has not been a good father. Maybe he has mistreated or badly treated his mother, and he's angry. And he wants revenge. And he's filled with a lot of malice in his heart. And he has a lot of wickedness in his heart. What is he going to do? Is he's going to humiliate his father. He's going to do bad things against his father. So what does he do? He preys on his wife. And he has this affair with this person. And, you know, nobody did anything. Nobody said anything. Unfortunately, this was a very real possibility. And so Paul says, if you really want to deal with it, you must deal with the deeper problem. The man being out of the community is only one step. The next step is to make sure that it's gone. Are there people who are supporters of his? Then they must be dealt with too. If there is any malice, if there's any wickedness on the part of anybody involved in this issue, these things must be dealt with because they are classified as leaven. Or as evil, and wickedness is surely part of evil. So how do we want to understand and keep these things here? I think that's important for us. And the idea is that we must keep it with unleavened bread. We become the unleavened bread, right? So what is the unleavened bread we're talking about here? It must be measured against two important things. First, there must be total sincerity. When we deal with a problem, we are not just simply banishing it, we're not just setting it aside. We can't. We have to deal with it sincerely. We need to deal with it because it's wrong, it's evil, it will be corruptive, and it will create problems further. So what we need to do to make sure that we deal with that which is truth. And when we combine the idea of sincerity and truth, then we understand what unleavened bread really is all about. Now, this is something that we need to consider very carefully, right? So every time we partake of the Passover, what are we celebrating? Our salvation. We are celebrating the Lord Jesus as the Passover lamb for us so that God will pass over all our sins, right? So we don't have Passover because we are not Jews, but the important thing is that we celebrate communion. And so what is it? We celebrate the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. That's the first thing, right? But when we partake of the bread that is there, yes, it represents the Lord Jesus in one sense, because the Lord himself said, "This is my body broken for you." Right? Now, are we looking at things here very, very carefully? Now, we are looking at how Paul then applied the concept of bread. And this is going to be bread that is partaken of. And he says, we are, since we are part of the body of the Lord Jesus, we become holy too. Right? So when we become members of the Lord Jesus, when we become part of the body of the Lord Jesus, we are the body of the Lord Jesus. Since we are the body of the Lord Jesus, then the idea of holiness must also be maintained. And when we keep the Lord's Supper, there must be clear sincerity and truth, and they must be honored. Then can we partake of the Lord's Supper meaningfully. Otherwise, we will partake of it in sin. And this is where later on Paul will deal with it in 1 Corinthians 11, of how the Lord will have to chastise and discipline where we do things poorly, in a wrong spirit, in a wrong manner, and in sin. Well, let's pray for forgiveness. Let's ask the Lord to bless. Father, we pray that you would teach us holiness. Teach us what it means to be of the body of the Lord Jesus. And therefore, that means purity on our part, holiness on our part. Help us to desire this, to be rid of that which is sinful, to be rid of that which is worldly, that which is of the senses, and of that which is wrong. We pray that you will help us to desire very much to be holy in your sight. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.